There Are Zero-Day Exploits for Your Mind by Michael Morgenstern, April 9, 2026. What happens when human manipulation has its Claude Mythos moment? On Tuesday, Anthropic announced Claude Mythos, which found thousands of vulnerabilities hiding in code that had been live for decades. This is a step change that heralds a different, less secure world. It also gives a preview of what it will be like when this type of paradigm shift comes not for code, but for us. Move 37. The year was March 2016, and the world was about to watch a paradigm shift. Google DeepMind's AlphaGo team challenged Lee Sedol, the world champion of Go, to a competition. Go is the oldest and most complex strategy game ever created, played continuously for over 2,500 years. It has more possible board positions than there are atoms in the universe, and it was considered the exclusive province of the human mind. Researchers guessed that AI was at least a decade away from competing at the top level. Sedol predicted that he would win in a landslide. He lost the first game. In the second game, on move 37, AlphaGo made a move that made no sense to anyone watching. Sedol got up and left the room for 15 minutes. Commentators thought it was a mistake, a clear vindication of human superiority. But it wasn't a mistake. It was just from a part of the game that the human mind had never explored. This was a seminal moment because it showed us that, after 2,500 years, we still didn't fully understand the game. That we were playing in a corner of the probability space and mistaking it for the whole map. Sedol retired from professional Go 3 years later. In a reflection published this year, he called the match a guide that presented the future in advance, and said it sent a clear signal to humanity about how the world would change. 1 year later, AlphaGo Zero, trained on zero human games, just the rules, defeated the earlier AlphaGo 100-0 with only 3 days of training. I've been making a movie about disinformation, deepfakes, and weaponized narrative control. We're premiering in SF on May 16. So I think about the ways this social media simulacrum of reflected reality warps our minds. I think about Move 37 a lot. I think about what it means when the map you thought was complete turns out to be almost empty. Enter Claude Mythos. On Tuesday, Anthropic announced their new model, Claude Mythos. An earlier leak had already shared information about the model online, so it didn't come as an extreme surprise. The model is so good at finding security exploits that they won't be releasing it publicly. Their previous top model, Opus 4.6, was not particularly good at finding actual security exploits. Mythos, on the other hand, has a 72.4% success rate. In just a few weeks, it found thousands of zero-day vulnerabilities in every major operating system and every major web browser, many of them in active code for 10 to 20 plus years. It found a 16-year-old bug in FFmpeg that had been hit 5 million times by autonomous testing tools without being caught. It casually wrote a browser exploit that chained together 4 vulnerabilities, which would give an attacker the ability to run code on a user's system just by visiting a web page. In just 4 hours, it wrote a remote root exploit to a server without any formal security training from the human directing it. As a response, Anthropic announced Project Glasswing, a massive coalition of the biggest players in software. Oz, Apple, Google, Microsoft, CrowdStrike, Nvidia, and others aimed at patching the vulnerabilities. The Glasswing butterfly's defense mechanism is transparency. With transparent wings, it hides from the world, and despite a delicate appearance, can carry up to 40 times its weight. The analogy breaks down almost immediately. The Glasswing's transparency makes it invisible and harder to find, but the transparency of a leaked exploit is a target, broadcasting a vulnerability to the entire world. Mythos is Move 37 for computer security. It shows us that we've been playing in a tiny corner of the map, besting decades of security research in a matter of days. Why defense can't keep up? I am glad Anthropic exists. Its founders concluded that exponential intelligence growth was an inevitability and committed to entering the race with the conviction that their presence might tip the scales towards a better outcome between catastrophe and utopia. I know many people at Anthropic and have been truly astounded at the company's ability to act well within a capitalist framework. Their commitment to acting ethically goes deep into the core of the personalities of the people who work there. But good intentions are a gamble, and consider the scale of what they're up against. OSS Fuzz, an automated technique for bug finding, began in 2016 and has found about 13,000 vulnerabilities in 10 years. Human researchers find a few per target per year. Claude Opus found 500 plus in a few weeks. Mythos found thousands in a few weeks at drastically lower cost per bug than the previous kinds. This is a fundamentally different kind of threat, and it heralds a step change in computing that might be even more significant than the introduction of ChatGPT or Claude Code. This kind of race is rigged against a defensive player. Let's consider why. 1. Other labs are not far behind. OpenAI, DeepSeek, and others are just behind Anthropic and will soon develop models with this type of capability. Open source models won't be too far behind. It's insane to consider, but models that run on laptops today are roughly equivalent to state-of-the-art models from a year ago. 2. This is the worst that AI will ever be. This common refrain reminds us that our priors and expectations will be disrupted time and time again by exponential progress. People are very bad at reasoning about exponential progress. We tend to assume that tomorrow will be like today. When it's not, we experience shock and then quickly reset our baseline. We don't easily internalize how more step changes could drastically change our world. It's hard to imagine that AI won't get better for the foreseeable future, and it doesn't even require the model itself to get better. AI models improve drastically when prompted better and connected to the right data. If a model has all your essays, it can think of ideas that you'll like more and sound more like you. Improving the harness, the way a model is prompted, looped, and shown data, makes a tremendous impact. The current mind-blowing results came from running Mythos in an incredibly simple loop with a one-paragraph prompt. Connecting Mythos to massive amounts of data, giving it lists of previous exploits, and putting it in collaboration and competition with other versions of itself could alone produce an order of magnitude more exploits. 3. You can't just discover all the bugs. Thousands of people have used LLMs for the same task and produced drastically different results. When I run Claude in a loop, it sometimes doesn't figure out something important until the 15th iteration. LLMs are not deterministic. Each time you prompt them, they travel a different path through their big brains. They are dramatically affected by your approach and ideas for how to solve a problem. This is one of the things that makes them so unpredictable, spontaneous, and human-like. So the first time it might find 10 exploits, the second time another 10. Prompting it in different directions, guiding it slightly differently, can unlock new ones. You could run it 1,000 times and find new bugs each time, with no guarantee that they've found them all. There may not be a ceiling to the number of exploits. Alex Stamos, former chief information security officer at Facebook, recently stated, "It's quite possible that all this development we've done in memory unsafe languages, without formal methods, that none of that is actually secure in the presence of super intelligent bug finding machines. In which case, we need to be massively rebuilding the base infrastructure we all work on. And nobody is doing that." Security researcher Thomas Tasek noted, "We've been shielded from exploits not by soundly engineered defenses, but by a scarcity of elite attention. Most software has never been seriously examined by anyone with the skill to break it. AI eliminates that scarcity." How many exploits are out there total? The truth is that nobody really knows. Memory bugs in old languages might be finite, but there are so many other types of exploits. Logic, race conditions, sidechain attacks, which can exfiltrate data by monitoring something as small as power intake fluctuations or timing discrepancies. It may be that there are a finite amount of exploits out there, and it's possible to write a perfectly secure piece of code. And it may be that it isn't. Most likely, given that we've just started to explore these classes of advanced exploits, the ceiling is at least so far away as to be presently irrelevant. It really may be that each new generation of model expands the ceiling, gaining visibility into a new world of vulnerabilities that the previous model could never have even imagined. But we're fixing the bugs. Anthropic committed $100 million in usage credits and $4 million in donations to open-source security groups. Some of the brightest minds on Earth are presently focused on the task. The 16-year-old bug in FFmpeg has already been patched. But it's much easier to poke a hole in a boat than it is to fix it, especially when the hole is on millions of boats that are out sailing somewhere. Security response is intrinsically slower, harder, and more expensive than exploit creation. Let's look at how this type of coordination has fared in the past. Dan Kaminsky and the 13 Days. In 2008, brilliant security researcher Dan Kaminsky discovered an exploit in DNS, the protocol that connects the entire internet. His response was heroic and impressive. He convened a secret meeting at Microsoft headquarters and coordinated with 81 companies, working for 6 months to release a patch. 81 companies, 6 months, coordinated release. It was the largest synchronized security update in the history of the internet. They hoped to keep the exploit secret for 30 days after the patch. 13 days in, details leaked into the wild. That was one vulnerability. Imagine thousands of new ones in similarly critical systems, more coming out every month. The Y2K bug. Some of you remember the 90s, those halcyon days when neon was in and dates were stored as two-digit numbers. We knew since the 60s that eventually this would break and potentially cause tremendous damage, but it wasn't until the mid-90s that people started treating the bug as a crisis. In 1993, it was estimated that the bug would cost $50 to $75 billion to mitigate worldwide. In 1998, response work began in earnest. The actual cost was closer to $308 billion. This was one class of bug, known decades in advance, with a countdown and a forcing function. But it was in every system, in spaghetti string code, with developers who had left or forgotten or passed away. The Heartbleed bug. Heartbleed was a critical vulnerability in OpenSSL, which affected nearly two-thirds of HTTPS websites. They tried a new approach, releasing the patch with great fanfare on the same day as announcing the exploit. 2 months later, 300,000 servers were still vulnerable. 5 years later, 91,000 servers were still vulnerable. One bug, a giant marketing campaign, and this was servers, sysadmins, not end users, and still it didn't get patched in so many places. The last 500 bugs. In February 2026, Anthropic found 500 zero-day bugs using Opus 4.6. 2 months later, 2 to 3 of them have been fixed. It's not the software developer's fault, it's structural. Finding and fixing bugs is hard. COVID. To consider the difficulty of patching defensively, we need only look at our COVID response. We had a hard time picturing exponential growth and didn't respond until the problem was at our doorstep. I remember watching people die in Italy and seeing complete nonchalance in California until just a few days before things got really bad. And it was much easier to get infected than it was to prevent infection. Much easier to poke one hole than seal all the holes. And right now, 99% of the exploits found by Mythos are unpatched. This is not our fault. It's certainly not Anthropic's fault. This stuff is just deeply, structurally hard. Sticky LLMs and stuck paradigms. LLMs are sticky. Once they choose a direction, once they think something is true, it's extremely hard for them to see different directions. If the LLM decides that a certain set of well-scoped user permissions is what will make a system secure, it's not as likely to realize it's wrong mid-process. Adversarial review helps. When a second model or group of models is asked to poke holes in an approach, it often finds things the original model wasn't aware of. But these adversarial reviewers are still stuck in the paradigm of the application. Compare that to an attacker LLM, trained on all the different ways code goes wrong, watching every bug fix on GitHub, finding an exploit in one piece of code, and looking for similar ones in every piece of software. It can apply thousands of attack paradigms, and all it needs is to poke one hole. An attacker needs one exploit to work out of thousands of attempts. A defender needs every single patch to be correct. The math is asymmetric, and stickiness makes it worse. The patches don't reach. Consider FFmpeg, which is being heralded as a success case. The bug was discovered, and within weeks, a patch has already been shipped. FFmpeg is open source code that powers almost every tool that encodes or decodes video. Nearly every video player, browser, phone, app, and streaming service has a version of it embedded in their software. I had Claude search my computer, and I found 15 different versions of FFmpeg installed. CapCut, released just a week ago, has a version that is 2 years old. To be immune from this single vulnerability, I would need to A. know that the vulnerability exists and what software uses the code. B. stop using software until a patch is made and the software integrates it and I update. What about an old video game or smartphone that doesn't release updates anymore? When's the last time you've updated FFmpeg? Chain attacks from unpatched systems. Typically, large legacy systems are the ones that take forever to patch. Critical infrastructure that protects money, electricity, defense, and so on can't be updated 5 times per day by a vibe coder. It's too risky. And if an attacker can own a bunch of legacy systems, they can then get into the trusted chain and attack your patch system through there. Even if you update everything, you're still vulnerable. The SolarWinds attack is an instructive example. An IT company distributing software to 30,000 organizations had its internal network compromised. The attackers injected code into a software update, which went out through trusted channels and installed backdoors on the network. Attackers were inside networks of the Department of State, Treasury, Energy, Homeland Security, and the NSA for months before they were discovered. It's a lot harder to, say, get root access to a remote server over the internet you have no relationship with. So imagine a chain of 4 vulnerabilities makes this easy, and it propagates across the internet. Most servers update, but it's easy to tell which ones haven't. And attackers have another 3 sets of 4 chain exploits ready to go for when a server gets patched. Attackers can use this surface, which your computer trusts, to push an attack onto your computer. Because it's traveling over a trusted network, that code doesn't need to use such sophisticated attacks to hack you. Move 37 for your brain. We think we understand how human persuasion works. Emotional triggers, in-group identities, thought errors, perception errors, we think we have the map. But consider that before 2013, some of the sentence structures we now call clickbait literally did not exist. George Lowenstein, a behavioral economist at Carnegie Mellon, theorized in 1994 that provoking curiosity in a headline might create more impact. But it was in 2013, when Upworthy built a massive A/B testing infrastructure to discover what kind of headlines worked best, that the specific formulations that became so sticky, like, "You won't believe what happens next," were essentially discovered. The play space expanded ever so slightly. I've been studying the ways AI can manipulate our mind as part of creating reality games, and I believe it comes in 3 phases. Phase 1, algorithmic filtering, starting around 2009. AI that surfaces content that people will engage with, which has led to outrage and fear surfacing to the top. An algorithm not designed to cause anger, only to optimize engagement, discovered how to exploit psychological vulnerabilities, leading to the destructive impact of Facebook and other platforms in conflict zones and on our self-perception. Phase 2, generative content, starting around 2020. Fake videos, fake articles, and fake evidence that erode our understanding of what's real. Phase 3, direct manipulation from personal information. Using your data, messages, reactions, and patterns to change your mind in ways you can't even detect. We're deep into phase 2, and phase 3 is just beginning. So far, we're in the early stages, the brute force version. TikTok's algorithm, mapping a user's psychological vulnerabilities in 40 minutes, and serving suicide content to 13-year-olds within 2.6 minutes of account creation. Accounts with usernames suggesting vulnerability receiving 12 times more harmful content. Biased search rankings being shown to shift voting preferences by 20% or more, with 75 to 100% of subjects having no awareness that it was happening. Consider then what a system with mythos-level reasoning would find. One that doesn't stumble onto psychological vulnerabilities through engagement optimization, but reasons its way to them the way mythos reasoned its way through code, reading the structure, following the data flows, hypothesizing where the weaknesses are, and testing until it finds them. Marketing and persuasion are ancient techniques. But what if, just like these code exploits, there are techniques we haven't even imagined? Once an attacker has your text message history, just a database file on your computer, they know things about you that can't be patched. Your trigger words, the arguments that make you fold, the people whose approval you crave, the fears you've told no one. And of course, the patterns that we don't have names for, some personal and some shared by the entire human species. You can't apply for a new set of personal vulnerabilities. You can't patch how you react when someone hits the right nerve. What will it even look like when an AI chains together 4 zero-day exploits to sow division or create confusion? Would we even notice? Would some of us be completely oblivious, passing harmful psychological payloads through trusted channels like an unpatched server? I believe that the fugue of the past decade is partly because so much of this has happened already. Social media has bent consensus reality while screens keep us in a hypnotic dream state, all contributing to a derealized feeling that we're living in a dream. What happens when an LLM of the future, one like Mythos but for human persuasion, can take your message database and use it to extract the keys to your mind, finding hundreds or thousands of MOVE 37s for human manipulation? What happens when AI is connected to more data about what works and doesn't? Your facial expressions when you watch TV, thousands of hours of Zoom calls. How many exploits are there? How possible are they to patch? And what do we do about the people who don't patch, especially the ones we trust? Is it possible that beyond the human manipulation exploits we can imagine, there is another class of exploits? That beyond that, yet another. I think we must consider the possibility that we are hackable beyond our wildest imagination. And of course, the personal information that these Mythos class attacks can steal will set the stage. Preparation, not panic. I remember posting about COVID when it was approaching. A friend who's very good at using his rational mind, who currently works for Anthropic, ironically enough, had been posting about it since January 2020. I wrote a long post telling people to get ready. 2 weeks later, California shut down. This moment feels similar. Panic will do nothing, and panicking about an inevitability seems foolhardy. It's time to prepare. I'm making more frequent backups, with occasional offline backups to cold storage. I'm reducing the attack surface of my personal information. I'm thinking harder about what data I leave lying around and what it would mean in the hands of a system that could read it the way Mythos reads code. But the real issue is that the security model of the internet was built on the assumption that finding and exploiting bugs is hard and costs time, money, and scarce human expertise. Mythos has now falsified that assumption. The trust model of human communication is built on similar assumptions, that effective manipulation requires rare skill, deep personal knowledge, and sustained effort, and that it only tends to come from people we don't already trust. Those assumptions are next. The world will need to build a new paradigm, and quickly, not just for computing, but for trust itself. And I think the most important thing any of us can do right now is what we are worst at, believing that tomorrow might be radically different from today. It is the surprise that comes from our refusal to expect drastic change that is our greatest vulnerability. Reality games. My way of helping us imagine this future is through a movie about two kids who weaponize identity and narrative to destroy each other. I first started thinking about this project in 2016, the year of AlphaGo and prominent state-sponsored disinformation. 7 solid years of work, and over 400 VFX shots later, we are bringing this film and its conversation to the world, along with an interactive fictional disinformation campaign. Our premiere is May 16 in San Francisco. If you want to talk about these issues with us, come on by.